Brothers and sisters, we're turning to the Old Testament book Jeremiah this morning. So the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 33, and our scripture reading will be just verses 1 to 9 of this chapter. First nine verses, get a sense of what's happening here in this chapter. So it's Jeremiah 33. Beginning our reading at verse number 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the guard. Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and the houses of the kings of Judah that were torn down to make a defense against the siege mounds and against the sword. They are coming in to fight against the Chaldeans and to fill them with the dead bodies of men whom I shall strike down in my anger and my wrath. For I have hidden my face from this city because of all their evil. Behold, I will bring to it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them abundance of prosperity and security. I will restore the fortunes of Judah and the fortunes of Israel and rebuild them as they were at first. I will cleanse them from all the guilt of their sin against me, and I will forgive all the guilt of their sin and rebellion against me. And this city shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and a glory before all the nations of the earth who shall hear of all the good that I do for them. They shall fear and tremble because of all the good and all the prosperity I provide for it." We end our reading there. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of God's precious, holy, infallible word to us. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, an important theme that we have been focusing on over these last number of weeks is for us to give careful attention to our faith, and not to be those who are drifting along or drifting away from the Lord. We are to be a people who are attentive and not to forget that which the Lord has done for us in Christ. We're not to allow our relationship with Christ to become cold and lacking, rather than to be a people who are desiring to grow and mature in the Lord. A number of weeks ago, I preached to you on Hebrews 2:1. It says there, "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it." So we are to be attentive, to be vigilant, to be aware, and to show great care for our faith. We must pay closer attention, to be earnest in our understanding, to acknowledge who we are in Christ. And as we come here to Jeremiah's prophecy, he was dealing with a wayward people. And I'm sure when they found themselves in a place where they are building high places to Baal, and they are offering their children to the god Molech, that they didn't do that right away. They unfortunately allowed their faith, their devotion, their worship of Jehovah God to wane and become cold. And so they slowly drifted along and entered into the attitude, the opinions, the worship, and the religion of the peoples around them, to the point where they are bowing down to these false gods, acknowledging them as God, and forsaking Jehovah. Oh, maybe giving lip service to Jehovah. It's very easy to give lip service to Christ and Christianity, and yet in the heart actually worshiping other things, setting up other idols in the heart and in the life, and ultimately living for them. But remember, we cannot serve two masters. You're either going to love the one and despise the other, live for the one and reject or turn away from the other. As Jesus said, we can't serve money and mammon and God. Well, put in any idol in that case. Can't serve idols and yet still serve God. Jeremiah here is speaking to a wayward people that unfortunately put themselves in a place where they're under the specific judgment of God. And at this time, he was using the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, as the instrument of judgment to come along to destroy the city of Jerusalem, to lay siege upon it and carry a people away captive. His judgment is coming. His judgment is coming. And the scriptures tell us, if his judgment begins at the house of God, who shall ultimately stand? And thankfully, the Lord has given us his Son Christ. We need to fully and completely embrace him and know him. We need to come in full repentance of sin and turning from sin and self and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you today. I need you now. Praise God that your blood washes and cleanses from all sin. When I come with sincerity of myself and my repentance, and I come to this God. And an important aspect of enabling us to grow in our faith and not to be wayward, not to be drifting, not to find ourselves in a place where we're actually setting ourselves up in terms of judgment of God, the discipline of God, is to seek Him with all the heart, and to seek Him today. And that's what the Lord tells us to do. What does He say here in verse 3? And this is the verse that I'd like us to focus on. He says, call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Call to me, I will answer you. I will show you. I will show you or tell you great hidden things that you have not known. How important it is for us to come to God, recognizing He is the one who tells us to call, and He is the one who tells us He will answer. And He will show us Himself, the fullness of Himself and of His revelation. So let us examine this text this morning and how important it is for us to seek the Lord even today. Not tomorrow, not this week. It's today. We need Him today. We need Him now. We need Him in this place. You need those watching online, you need Him where you are. Now this text divides into three parts. And let's examine them in order. So we see here first, God's requirement. That's what we see first. Second, God's response. God's response. And then third, God's revelation. God's revelation. And so we see here God's requirement. Know clearly that this prayer, this declaration that the Lord gives is actually a command. This is an imperative. Call to me. That's what he's saying. You're not to call to these false gods. They're not going to answer you. You're bowing down to Baal, to Molech, to these false gods. They're the work of men's hands. They have not eyes that they can see, hands that they can use, feet that they can walk. They are nothing. Don't call to them. Because they are nothing. Call to me. And the Lord is declaring to his people, certainly he is one who is transcendent. He is glorious. In fact, the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. As we look at the universe, that's how vast he is. An infinite, glorious God. But he is also imminent. He is also close. He is nigh unto his people. and he sees them in their need. He recognizes that they're on a destructive path, that here they are, they have forsaken the Lord their God, and they're calling on the names of these gods, in fact, even resting in perhaps other nations to save them and help them from the disaster, the calamity that's coming when the Babylonians will enter into the land, take city by city by city, and eventually take Jerusalem. And yet the Lord is saying, I am here. Why are you not coming to me? Why are you not seeking me? I'm the Savior that will help you. There are no others. You cry out to these others, you will not gain what you desire. But the Lord says, I want you to call to me. And this is the covenant name of God that he is using. I am your covenant God. I made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, with your fathers. And that covenant is an everlasting covenant that also is with you. You belong to me. And yet here you are, forsaken the God that you love or declare you should love. So he shows himself to be covenantally faithful to these ones. He says, why are you going this way? I mean, Jesus shows his disciples the importance of calling on his name. In John 14, verses 13 to 15, he says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so hence, as God's people, we declare a love for him, a love for Christ, a desire to live for him, follow him, do all to do that which he wants us to do. And when we seek him, we find him, when we search for him with all our hearts. He said, you come to me, you ask in my name, I will do it. Especially in terms of your spiritual life and growth, because God knows your struggles. He knows the challenges that you face. We live during a time of COVID-19, and it's very restrictive right now. In fact, and we're very thankful we're not in red. We could be. Ontario's in lockdown. Quebec is in essential lockdown with curfews. I mean, we couldn't imagine a curfew being on us where you couldn't go outside after a certain time. Nevertheless, the Lord enables us to continue to come to him with all our hearts, with all our needs, with all our challenges, with all our difficulties, because he is with us. I mean, this vision comes when Jeremiah is actually in prison. Verse 1 says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still shut up in the court of the guard. And so here he is, shut up in the court of the guard. He's in prison. He's being bound because they didn't like the fact that he came to them, telling them to repent and turn from their sins. And if they didn't turn, then God would bring disaster upon them. The Chaldeans would come and destroy their city, kill them, kill many of them, and carry the rest away captive. They didn't want to hear it. They thought, well, God should allow us to do whatever we want. We should be free. Who is this God to restrict us in our lifestyle choices and our sin? And we want to be able to do whatever we want. But it's God who we answer to. And each and every one of us even has a heart of rebellion. So even though Jeremiah is one who's shut up in the prison, nevertheless, the God is there with him, meeting with him and giving him a word for Israel, the people of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 145, 18 and 19, the Lord is near to all who call on him. The Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth, he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears their cry. And what does he do? He saves them. That's your God. That's why we come to Him. That's why we turn to Him, not turn away from Him. You know, it's very easy to, when we've sinned, to say, well, God's not going to hear me now. Look at this. I've transgressed. I've fallen into something. I shouldn't have done that. God's not going to be happy with me now. But then the Lord comes to His people with a command. Call to me. Call to me. I am your Savior. I know your sin. I'm the only one who can heal it and deal with it and renew you and restore you. You cannot do this on your own. There are no actions or works or merit that you can do. His hands, His arms always open. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. Are you calling on Him today? Are you coming to Him in belief, resting in Him? Or are you continuing on drifting as if one who is in a desert place, just no joy in yourself and your faith and your life, struggling, thinking, well, where is God? There's no God. God has forsaken me. It's very easy to start thinking this way, especially perhaps we've gotten ourselves into some things that we shouldn't have. And well, now what am I going to do? Where's the Lord? There was a man who was lost in the desert. After wandering for some time, he started to lose hope. No water anywhere. How am I going to survive this? But about that time, he actually saw a little shack in the distance. And it wasn't a mirage. I mean, usually in the desert, you see mirages of pools of water, and it turns out to be nothing. But he saw a shack in the distance. He made his way over to that shack and found an actual water pump in there with a small jug of water and a note. There was actually water there. He had hope. The note read, "Pour all the water into the top of the pump to prime it, and if you do this, you will get all the water you need." And so now the man had a choice. Just drink that little bit of water in the jug, and then maybe that'll sustain him for a little while. Or pour the water into the pump, prime the pump. You know those old pumps? I think maybe some of you use them. In fact, I used to work on a farm, and we had one of those old-fashioned pumps. But you had to pour a little bit of water in to prime it to get the water to come out. And so he had a choice. Drink the little bit, you know, be like this little, just a little bit to sustain him. Or he could have all that he needed. But he had to believe the note. He had to move in faith and pour the water into the pump. Well, he was halting between two opinions, but nevertheless, he did give way. He believed the words of the note. He poured the water into the pump. And he started to push on the lever. At first, nothing happened. He thought, uh-oh, this is trouble. But then you know what happened? Water came out. Water in abundance. More than enough that he could ever need. In fact, there were some other pots there. He could fill the pots. He had enough to sustain him and keep him while he was there. You know, it's amazing. We have a note from God. And how often we halt between two opinions. Do we believe the word that God has told us? Or do we try to rest in our own experience? We try to rest in what we see and what we hear, society around us, our circumstances. And we think, no, well, our circumstances are pointing that direction, but then there's God's word. And sometimes we step out in faith and nothing happens. It's like that man who he poured the water in. He started pumping. Nothing's happening. Wait a minute. Have I put my faith in the wrong thing? But then the living water came. You know, when we put our faith fully in Jesus Christ, it may seem like nothing happens in the physical realm or not very much. But you know where life is brimming and alive and full? Isn't it in our own hearts and souls? I put my faith and trust in this living God, and He has come to me by His Spirit, and He has granted me life. He has given me of Himself. I can have peace that surpasses understanding. I have joy, even despite a time when I look around in my circumstances. Where's the joy? Where's the joy that we can get from our society? Everything's in lockdown. In fact, they're talking about going red this week if things continue the way they are. It's a depressing thought. And the vaccines. Well, a snail moves faster than the vaccines being, distributed through Canada. In fact, they're even talking about slowing that down. There's all kinds of things that can cause us to be depressed. But when we come to this word, that's not where it leads us. This Bible should never lead us to a dark place. Rather, this is light. This is food for the soul. Out of one who believes in Christ, out of him should flow rivers of living water. That's what God gives to us when we come to him. You know, there was a time even before in Isaiah's prophecy where the Assyrians had come to destroy Jerusalem, to surround the city and to carry them away captive. And at that time, Judah had a godly king, Hezekiah. And what did Hezekiah do to prevent the Assyrians from taking the city? Or how was the city not taken? Remember, he had taken the letters that the Assyrians had brought, and he laid them before God. And he said, Lord, what are we going to do? How can we defeat such an enemy? This is too great for us. We're going to be defeated. Lord, help, help, help. And of course, it was the Lord who came by his Spirit, defeating the Assyrian army, so much so that Sennacherib had to return back home again. But do we see that happening here? Do we see Israel at the word of Jeremiah, bringing the letters before God, seeking God and saying, Lord, what are we going to do? We're being defeated. No, they reject the word of Jeremiah. They reject the word of the Lord. And they bring disaster upon themselves. How often we bring actual disaster upon ourselves? Because we don't come to God with our sin. We don't come to God with our temptations, our weaknesses, those times when we just keep going down that wayward road thinking we're going to be okay. Not recognizing disaster is coming for those who turn away from God. The command is there. Call to me, call to me, call to me, he says. Are you doing that today? Are you calling upon your God? Notice second, when we call on him, there will be a response, God's response. He says, I will answer you. There's an answer promised. The text here is basically declaring that God will graciously reply to us. We'll have answer from heaven, the place where the answer ultimately should come from. The verb stem gives the idea of continuation, progression. It's not that he just answers you once and then, well, everything else he will ignore. As we continue to seek him, as we continue to come to him, do you know what he's saying? I'm going to continue to answer you. But that's what we expect in a relationship, don't we? And we don't come to the Christian faith in terms of, well, I'm just believing some certain doctrines, some teachings, and it's going to make me feel better. Jesus isn't just a good man, a good teacher that taught us some good morality. And so as long as I follow his teachings, his tenets, things will be fine. No, we enter into a relationship with the living God. A living person. And so as we interact with our God day by day, as we walk with him, as we know him, as we speak to him, he says, I'm going to continually answer you. Continually answer you. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, I look at myself, I'm unworthy of this. How is it that God wants to answer me? How is it that he wants to meet my needs? He wants to help me spiritually. He wants me to mature and he wants me to grow. And that's for all of us. He doesn't want a people drifting along, just having a form of religion, but not experiencing the power given through Christ and his Spirit. He wants to, obviously his desire is for us to be a people alive. Spiritual life. Knowing his power. knowing His presence with us. A continual answer from God. Continual answer from God. For those who humble themselves, wait upon Him. He says, I'm not going to leave you. Remember, imminent as well as transcendent. In Psalm 91, the psalmist said in verses 14 to 16, because He holds fast to me in love, I will deliver Him. We love Him because He first loved us. I will deliver Him. I will protect Him because He knows my name. When He calls to me, I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will rescue Him and honor Him. With long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. Every child of God can lay claim to this, God is saying. The fact that He is the one who holds fast to us, we are able to hold fast to Him. Because we recognize He delivers us, we know He will protect. Because He knows us, He chose us before the foundation world, we can say, I know Him. I know His name. I will call on Him, and my expectation is He will answer me. In fact, we should be, it should be a sense where, well, how is it that He's not answering? We should always expect an answer. Are you coming to Him with faith saying, you're going to answer me? And as you look back over your life, you can say, yes, you have. You didn't answer in ways sometimes that I expected. But you are still there. You're still answering. You're still guiding, directing my life. Praise God. Because He says, I will be, and I'm going to change the word there. I will be with you in trouble. I will rescue you. I will honor you. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. That's what He's saying to each and every one of us. When we put our faith and trust in Him, these are the promises of God. We are a people who rest in promises, standing on the promises. That's what we're doing. We continue to do so because an answer ultimately is needed. We need the Lord to respond to us. We need heaven to come. We need our Savior to come and be there for us and with us. Not to be a people who turn away from Him. In Jeremiah 7:26, it says, they did not listen to me. When the Lord speaks, there are times when we have to be still and actually listen and pay attention to what He says. Rather than a people that are quick to do and decide, and I want this and I want that. When was the last time you actually took a step back and said, Lord, speak. Speak to me. Your servant is listening. It's like Samuel as a child. Remember? When the Lord was speaking to him and he thought it was Eli that was speaking. So he, you know, oh, you spoke. What do you want? No, it's not me. Wait and listen for the Lord. There's times when we need to wait and listen. They did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did not. They did worse than their fathers. So you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. They shall call to them. You shall call to them, but they will not answer you. And you shall say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the voice of the Lord their God and did not accept discipline. Truth has perished. It is cut off from their lips. Can you imagine if this was God's pronouncement against us? Remember, this is Israel, God's people. And yet they're not listening when God speaks. They're stiffening their neck against Him. There's no answer from them. Imagine God speaks and we don't answer Him, but we expect Him to answer us. How do we answer Him? Faith, obedience, trust, seeking Him with all the heart. Today, if you feel the need of Christ, look for His response to you. But do not harden your heart against Him. Recognize your need and come to Him in repentance and faith. say, Lord, I need you. When you speak, I will also answer. Because when I come and seek your face, I expect an answer from you. And thankfully, he's a faithful God who answers fully and completely. And answers always given. In fact, even in the height of the destruction that's going to be happening to the city, as he outlines here from verses 4 and 5. Yet, what does he say in verse 6? I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of prosperity, security. I will restore the fortunes of Judah and fortunes of Israel. Rebuild them as it were at the first. I will cleanse them from all their guilt and their sin against me. I will forgive all the guilt of their sin and rebellion against me. City, a name of joy, praise, glory. And here, the same people, forsaken God, and yet the Lord, a forgiving God, a gracious God, a healing God. He heals you. He knows your needs before you ask. And that's why we're focusing on prayer and the importance of prayer. But it's time for us to seek the Lord. Will you seek Him today? Will you seek Him today? Because He shows us, and third, and quickly, I know my time is gone. We have God's revelation. Third, Jeremiah 33 here, and He says, I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. He speaks to Jeremiah and reveals to him a purpose for His people. Not to just see them wiped out and destroyed, even though they deserve it because they had turned their back on Him. But to give to them healing and life and a future and a hope. In fact, the terms here are causative. God will make this happen. I will cause you to know great things. I will cause these hidden things that you have not known to be known to you. In essence, I will reveal myself to you. And as I reveal myself to you, I reveal my word to you, my commandments to you afresh, my salvation to you, my son to you. I reveal all these things that will give you healing and life and future and a hope. So he said in Jeremiah 29:11, in that very well-known passage there, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you call on me and come and pray to me, I hear you. You will seek me, find me, when you do what? You seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes. How great is God, even when we're wayward, to restore unto us our fortunes, because His plans for us are stable and secure, and His desire to give us a future and a hope. And this leads us always to Christ, our Savior and our God. Because as He speaks here of healing, of hope, of restoration, and of a future, it comes via His Son Christ. Verse 14, 33:14, Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord. I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel, the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. And in those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Ultimate future and hope rests in the person of Jesus Christ. This is a reference to the coming of Messiah God. Even though here's a people in great need and there's nothing that they could do to save themselves, even as they come with their animals constantly over and over and over again, yet this could never answer truly sin. But this man, Jesus, after He gave Himself for sin, sat down at the right hand of God, fully and completing that which was necessary to deal with sin. Jesus, our righteous branch. Jesus, our righteousness. Our future and our hope is ultimately found in Christ. Why don't we just come to Him? Come to Him today. Know Him. Do you need spiritual strength and help? Of course you do. Where is the answer? Call unto Him, and He says He will answer you. you have access to the throne of grace today. Lay hold upon that. Take advantage of that opportunity we have to come to our God. Whatever your need, God has an answer for you. He always has the answer because He shows that covenant faithfulness. As Paul even echoed in his letter to the Ephesians, he wrote Ephesians 3:20, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could even ask or think." Abundantly. But far more abundantly, even than what we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Remember a little boy, he placed his tiny lunch in Jesus' hands. And how many people did it feed? 5,000. And there was enough left over to fill 12 baskets. Even more than that, what he started with. That's your God. A God of abundance. A God who heals. A God who provides. Seek Him today. He will show you answers. He will declare His Son and show you His revelation. But come to Him and ask for these things. Be attentive, not forgetful. Do not allow your relationship with Christ become cold and lacking, rather than seeking to grow and mature. We must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. Through Christ, we have rivers of living water. As a man in the desert seeking life, well, the Lord is the one who comes and provides that living water for us. Remember, that living water for you and me is Christ. May we come to Him once again, even today, knowing how faithful and good He is. You have a great and a glorious God who loves you with an everlasting love. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we have just looked at a text here in Jeremiah, pray, Father, that this is Your word to us, Your revelation to us, great and mighty things, profound revelation. A mighty God who acts in mighty ways, ways that are beyond us. Lord, when we look at ourselves, we say, what good is there in me? But nevertheless, we come to You because You are the one who said, I will cleanse them from all their guilt and from their sin, even against me. I will forgive all their guilt and their sin and their rebellion against me. That even this city shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and a glory. Father, thank You that when we come to You, You say to us, I will cleanse you from your guilt and sin. I'll forgive your guilt and sin and rebellion, so that we also may know joy and praise and glory in our Savior Jesus. Be with Your people. Bless us on this Lord's Day. Continue to provide for us in Christ. Because You are a good and a gracious God. But help us, Lord, help us to seek You today. That today we know the living God. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.